Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King, and we will have the low Mass for special needs at 7 a.m. Confessions will be heard before and after the Mass, and then solemn Mass at 9 in the morning. Those confessions are before and after the 9 o'clock Mass. And benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. This is a reminder to please fill out and return by November 1st the All Saints, All Souls Day envelopes. Oh, return by November 1st, All Saints Day. So here's good news. Here's a good announcement. Not that the others are not, but this is a good one. I'll read it first. There's going to be a change in the confession schedule. The confessions will still be heard on Saturdays, but only after the 8:30 Mass. So that means there'll no longer be confessions before the 8:30 Mass, but only after. On Sundays, confessions will continue to be heard before and after the 9 o'clock Mass. However, there will be a second priest hearing them in the Sacred Heart Shrine at the same time. Therefore, when you line up, you may go to either priest, either in the confessional or in the shrine. So you see, the good news is you don't have to wait as long online. It'll be easier to go to confession. And so we've done this in the past, if you recall. So you just go in, if you want to go into the Sacred Heart, just go in and close the doors, and the priest is there. You may recall we have a special screen for hearing confessions in there. So that's the good news. We can make everything easier. Somebody could say there's bad news that we have too many people come in to go to confession. But that's good. Receive sacraments. You see what's happening. We have to double the priests because so many people want to receive the sacraments. That's good. There will be the adult catechism class this Tuesday, October 24th at 5:30 p.m. It will be in the hall and online. So, just to repeat, we have the blessing after Mass, the articles, benediction this evening at 6. Next Sunday is Christ the King. There's the low Mass at 7, and then the solemn Mass at 9, benediction at 6. Please return the All Souls Day envelopes before the 1st of November. And then the very good news about the confessions on Sundays, and then the catechism class. Now, I wanted to make a special appeal, as we always do, when you're filling out your All Souls Day envelopes, to remember all the priests that you know. There's some degree of a selfishness there, because hopefully this will be, people will hear this, maybe the youngest people will hear this and remember, I remember Father McMahon, before he died, used to remind us to pray for priests. I think I'll remember to pray for him. I'll put his name down. So there's a certain degree of that. But especially parents, you should train your children to do it too. So when you're gone, they will remember you. It's simple. But to illustrate this story, I want to tell this story. This is about an Englishman who was born before World War I. And he eventually became a medical doctor. He got married, had some children, don't know how many. And then, of course, World War II came, and he had to, well, he didn't fight necessarily, but he had to join and be a doctor in the military. And the war ended, and he ended up in South Africa. I don't know if that's where he studied. I don't know how that happened. And then his wife died. And whatever, I don't know all the internal things that moved him, but he became a Catholic. And then he became a priest. And then came the destruction. And he was a priest in South Africa. And he saw everything happening in catastrophe around him in the church. And he said, they're imposing here
what I left. And he didn't know how to work with it. But as a very sincere person, he went from South Africa to Rome. He said, I'm going to hear it right from the source. And he went to the different curial offices and asked the different people, what's going on? What's happening? And he came away realizing that there was evil afoot. And he came back, and on his way back to South Africa, he met our Father Superior, who was not even a priest yet. And he continued on to South Africa, said to his bishop, well, I'm going to still say the traditional Lent Mass, the Mass that I was ordained to say, and I'm going to have that faith. And the bishop cut him off. You will know, do whatever you want, but you're not going to be in any of our parishes, and we're not going to give you any money, and we're not going to give you any food or anything. And so, what did he do? Well, he still said the Mass privately, and he went back to being a doctor. And so, he got a job with one of the mining companies. You know, they mine for, what, gold, diamond, and silver down there, South Africa. And he got a job with them taking care of, if you know how that thing works, basically modern-day slaves. And he had a little hut, basically, on the location of the plantation, the mining plantation. And he was there taking care of the health of these poor slaves, let's call it that. But he had his little place in his little, I say hut, but it's probably a little house, but where he still said his Mass, and he still was a Catholic priest, just making a little to live on. But Father, of course, never forgot him and kept in touch with him. And so for those years before you met us, but through the years when we first got here, we would help him. And then, of course, he's dead now. He's one of the people you can write down. He's one of the people that held it together when it was all crumbling. He's one of the ones that we owe a debt of gratitude. So I say that in his for him. And I have the top of the announcements I just wrote down here. We're still in the month of October, so we must double our work on saying the rosary. And if you follow, again, I mentioned this, the message that comes out on Sundays, there's a message just telling us this week about, it's a little booklet, very short, about the importance of the Hail Mary. Quoting great saints, and I'm thinking of St. Jerome, because it quotes St. Jerome, and of course he's a biblical scholar, and the words are from the Bible, but to show how way before the Protestant Reformation, or Revolution, we have a saint like St. Jerome telling us how important it is to say the Hail Mary. Isn't that amazing? And the Our Father. These are the two biblical prayers in the rosary. We don't have to make a pitch to say the rosary, except please do it. There's some little thing they say. If you start a habit, you keep doing it for, I don't know what it is, 5 days or something. That's a habit you will keep for a long time, maybe the rest of your life. So if you haven't been doing the rosary every day this month, start today. But we want to take a moment to show you something. This is one of the sacred books. We know the Missal, and you see different things. Like during Holy Week, you'll see us bring out the book just for Holy Week. You may notice it. You'll see the epistolarium being brought out when at the High Masses there's sung the Epistle and Gospel. You see the deacon singing over here. Well, this is another one of the sacred books. It's called the Martyrology. So
There are, as you know, on the universal calendar, there are saints virtually for every day of the year, but then there are days when we don't have a saint on the universal calendar, we have a commemoration or something. But this, just to let you, I like to show things so you know. There are so many treasures in our church. We don't even know them all. And this is one of them. And we want to just take. So, and this, these saints, although we're not aware of it, these saints are remembered every single day of the in the church, in the divine office. In a part of the office called prime, there is an interruption. After the Psalms and everything, there's an interruption. Everyone sits down, and the hebdomadary, like the deacon singing or the subdeacon, the hebdomadary stands up, and he chants recto tono, and he chants who the saints are for that day. And so for today, so there's a whole section. Well, now today's a Sunday, the 21st, but you won't see any saint mentioned on today's calendar. And this week there are some other ferias, that is, free days. There's no saint mentioned. But there are paragraphs of saints in this book each day. Just to let you hear this one. Hero Solomis, Sancte Mariae Salome, Matris Sanctorum Jacobi, et Ioannis Apostolorum, quae in Evangelio legitur circa Domini sepulturam solicita. That's the first paragraph. And I did that on purpose just so you can hear. Maybe you could even hear who we're talking about. That's just the first one. Others going down the list here. But we won't leave you in suspense. Who is that? This is at Jerusalem, maybe you heard that. Saint Mary Salome, mother of the apostles James and John, who is referred to in the Gospels as having cared for the Lord's burial. Isn't that something? We mentioned one other listed. There's a whole paragraph of these people. At Adrianople in Thrace, the birthday of the holy martyrs, Philip, a bishop, Severus, a priest, Eusebius, and Hermes, who under Julian the Apostate were burnt to death after imprisonment and scourging. Okay. Now, because we're in this, I'm going to take that and just tell you about the saints for this week, right out of the martyrology. So tomorrow, it's the feast of St. Anthony Mary Claret. In the monastery of Fontfroy, in the diocese of Carcassonne in France, St. Anthony Mary Claret, Archbishop of Cuba, and founder of the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, celebrated by his zeal for souls and his gentleness, he was canonized by Pope Pius XII. Next day, October 24th, the feast of St. Raphael the Archangel, whose dignity and benefits to mankind are set forth in the sacred book of Tobias. That's in the Old Testament. That was not in the martyrology. I added that. I'm going to add this too. Pax tecum. That's the kiss of peace at the solemn mass. Where was that first heard? St. Raphael said it to Tobias and his son. He said, "Peace be with you." October 25th, at Madrid, St. Isidore the Farmer, famous for his miracles, whom Gregory XV inscribed in the number of the saints, together with Saints Ignatius, Francis Xavier, Teresa, and Philip Neri. He canonized them all together. October 26th. Now, this is a feria, so this one is a free day, but there's a commemoration. So, at Rome, St. Evaristus, Pope and Martyr, who empurpled the Church of God with his blood under the Emperor Hadrian. October 27th, this is another feria, and there's no commemoration. 27th, in the Indies, St. Frumentius, Bishop, who was first of all a captive there and afterwards being ordained bishop by St. Athanasius, spread the gospel in that province. And then on October 28th, in Persia, the birthday of the blessed apostles. When they say birthday, you know, it means their day that they died, that they go to heaven. The birthday of the blessed apostles, Simon the Canaanite, and Thaddeus, who is also called Jude. Simon preached the gospel in Egypt, and Thaddeus in Mesopotamia. And then they both entered Persia and suffered martyrdom there, after having been made subject to an innumerable multitude. They made people subject by the miracles that they had performed. And then after all these different, we had almost our reading for the martyrology. We did the saints of the week, but that would be how it'd be. And then at the end, I'm reading this Latin because we love to hear it. Maybe you'll hear it. It sounds good. Et alibi aliorum plurimorum sanctorum martyrum et confessorum adque sanctorum virginum. Hebdomadary says it, and everyone says Deo gratias. And that is, so the church leaves no one out. In other places, many other holy martyrs, confessors, and virgins. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of justice, and having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In all things, taking up the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the most wicked one, and take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is, the word of God. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who desired to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun the settlement, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had no means of paying, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. But the servant fell down and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And moved with compassion, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But as that servant went out, he met one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hold of him and throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." His fellow servant therefore fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." But he would not, but went away and cast him into prison until he should pay what was due. His fellow servants therefore, seeing what had happened, were very much saddened, and they went and informed their master of what had taken place. Then his master called him and said to him, "Wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou didst entreat me. Shouldst not thou also have had pity on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master, being angry, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So also my heavenly Father will do to you, if you do not each forgive your brothers from your hearts. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So we are sad because, due to the announcements, which we knew would happen, but thought it was worthwhile. See, I'm holding this book again. Okay. You and I belong to the Catholic Church, one holy Catholic universal and apostolic. I keep holding this book up. This is, each one of these marks is a source of comfort for us to know that we belong to the church that has them all. And when we hold this up, not only do we have a holy founder, that is Christ himself, God, not only do we have holy truths, the creed, not only do we have holy sacraments, and the sacrifice that we all are part of, but it does something. It makes saints. It makes all of us into saints if we are in the state of grace. But it makes saints. There's no religion that does it. Just this alone. Just this book alone. Okay. Saints have died rather than hand a book like this over to the infidels. Are you ready to do that? When the deacon is holding the sacred words, that's what he's thinking. Paraphrasing St. Teresa of Avila, I'll give my life 1,000 times for this book. So, we have to try and talk about today's Mass. Well, just in preparing, so many times it happens, you feel like falling down. God, you are great. You give us all these things so we can go right through each one of the Mass texts, looking at each one in particular. And we can just say that. And the intro is just telling us, God, You are the God of the universe. Nothing moves except that you will it. Nothing happens except that you want it. And these are taken from the Old Testament in the book of Esther. Cannot tell the story. They are the words of Esther's uncle, Mordecai, who was set to be executed by the infidels. And not only he was going to, but all the Jews were going to be, the chosen people, were going to be executed. And he prayed, God, nothing happens without you wanting it. Whatever you will, but we pray, save your people. And so the next morning, instead of Mordecai being executed, the place of execution, the whole story, you can read about it, Book of Esther. Instead, the perpetrator, the one who was whispering in the ear of not a Jewish king, he was not part of their race, whispering in their ear, execute, get rid of these Jews. Instead, there's a whole, how God worked it, he was the one executed
on the place of execution that he had erected for Mordecai. And so Mordecai prays, God, you are great. Now, we're going to see here in this Mass, just because there's a battle going on, we all know that, there's a battle going on, and the Mass is telling it to us, and St. Paul is warning us how to prepare for the battle. And he says, don't come in with your guns and knives. We're not fighting that kind of battle. He says, we're fighting against spiritual forces. And he's naming them. Princes and principalities. We know there are more than that because we know there's at least one seraphim, Lucifer. And he tells us that's who we're fighting against. And he starts listing, which is very interesting how the scripture scholars start telling us exactly. Well, St. Paul tells him himself, take up the sword of salvation, which is the word of God. He tells it to us. The rest of the parts, he's not telling it explicitly. So the scripture scholars tell us what's going on there, each one of the steps. And they describe how St. Paul describes the defensive weapons we have and then the offensive weapons. But he says the sword is offensive. That's the word of God. Go out and preach the gospel. Well, we can think to ourselves, well, we hear in the introit that nothing moves without God's permission. And yet, the devil is given a chance to roam the earth and try and hurt us? Why? As is some somewhat famous book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Never read it, heard the title. I'm sure there's nothing in there to explain it. But it's a good question. Why does God, he controls all things, why does he let this happen? Well, the offertory gives us a sneak look into that. God is, we'll know on Judgment Day why. We can speculate. But in the offertory, there's a little bit of a glimpse into the book of Job. Listen to all these books of the Bible that are in this Mass today. And it described, you can read the story about Job. But very beginning, it is described as God having a little counsel. And he allows the devil to speak. And God says, go ahead. You can look anywhere on the earth and you'll see there's no one as good as my servant Job. And the devil says, that's just because you've given him all kinds of blessings. You take away all his blessings and he'll curse you. And God said, okay, you are free to hurt him, but don't take his life. And if you know the story of Job, what happens? So that is teaching us something, that God allows these things to give us the chance to love him back. Not because he is the giver of gifts, because he is the gift himself. Now, there are other reasons. We have to skip. That's terrible, right? But it's not bad in this sense. All of the treasures are here. The Mass, don't let this happen. Priests can't let it happen. For the priest, it's almost more dangerous. Because he is handling sacred things day after day. And with things in life that we do often, we can easily lose track of what we're doing. It gets routine. That can never happen with the priest. If it does, he's losing what he's all about. And we know what happens there. You know, when the salt does not have its flavor, our Lord said, cast it out in the street. So the priest has to be praying. He can't think of that every second. What I'm just saying here, he's not thinking of that every second. But he has to think of it sometimes, and especially when God, through the guardian angel, says something to him, this is sacred. What you're reading is sacred. What you're touching is sacred. So we all have to remember that. And when we talk about these words of St. Paul, which we cannot go into explanation right now, these things are sacred. They are powerful. They are the sword of truth, of salvation. They will enlighten you more than the priest can do, more than the priest can ever say. God can give you that insight, and you can become a saint in that one moment. So you have to be, every moment of the Mass is sacred. You have to capture every moment. And so if God, through the Holy Ghost, is giving you some inspiration about the epistle, or go put your own missal down. Let me pray over that, God. Let me love you over that. So you can see that is the better way. So that's why, and that's the apologetic why we cannot take the time to explain the epistle more than that. But to tell you this, as we, you know, the Word of God is better, but we'll just use the catechism to help everyone. How do we fight these temptations? The devil is attacking us all the time. So what do we do? And the catechism tells us. We looked it up. Question 73. And it says, the first line of defense is the sacraments, to receive them as often as possible. So that's going to turn out to be the Holy Eucharist and the sacrament of penance. That's why we have nice long lines, and we have extra priests, and we have more priests. We can set up another confessional here. So everyone go to confession as often as you want. Get the graces. So that's the first thing. We have to say our prayers. Come to the Mass, best prayer we can do. How about the rosary, putting that in place? It says, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Don't have idle hands. Always be busy, occupied, study, work, even playing. Okay. Be aware of the fact that the devil is after us all the time. So as soon as we are made aware of a temptation, usually from our guardian angel, then it says in the catechism, promptly get rid of that temptation. And that means do whatever it takes. Say prayers first, but then if you're sitting down, get up, physically change your position, physically change what you're doing. If I'm reading, no, I'm not going to do that. If I'm by myself, go into a group of people. You are showing God, I'm working hard against this. And we do it promptly. And last, he says, avoid occasions of sin. And we know this, but I'm just reviewing. So we're equipped to fight the devil. Okay, now, I'll just mention this. The gradual Alleluia. As we come out of this, you know, the fiery darts of the evil one, you know, coming to attack us, that's the epistle, then it's the gradual says, yes, but you are, O Lord, are our refuge and protection for all of us. And then the Alleluia says, right, all the Gentiles, this Mass is leading us towards the end of time, too. And so we're calling on God, all of us, to be saved. And then the Alleluia says, and especially the chosen people. See? All are to be saved, the gradual, but the Alleluia, especially the chosen. Can't explain why. Just Psalm 113 is a clue. That's what that's taken from. So in the last seconds here, which is totally inadequate, we'll sum up the gospel this way. Forgive us our trespasses. You know the rest. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Those are our Lord's words from the Our Father. That sums up this gospel. If we want to receive mercy, then we will receive it as we give it to others. And you see here this in great detail. You know, he is forgiven $20 million debt versus $20. We'll have to stop with that. We're going to say something, drawing on what we said earlier, just to bring this great parable of mercy but warning home to us. You remember our South African priest? cast out by his bishop, left, frankly, to, who cares, on their part, die as far as they care. That priest and others were the ones that God called to give us transition from those terrible days to these terrible days. And the list of these saints, okay, slipped it out, not canonized, but the list of these priests and nuns, and you've heard of their stories in the past, and you should hear them more often, cast out living out of cars because they would not give up the Mass or the Church's faith. And we all have depended upon them, and we stand on the shoulders of these great giants. And we're thinking of a particular leader in the traditional movement in those days, from those days, who relied on these priests too. And then when the authorities to undermine the traditional movement approved of priests and approved of their organizations. And so now we had the priests that say the traditional Mass that are persecuted unto death. And then we have the traditional Mass offering priests that are approved, and they are fed, and they are given houses, and they are taken care of by the bishops. Why? Because underneath, and they don't hide it, the bishops say it, this is a temporary thing until we are able to poison these people sufficiently, and then we'll cut off the traditional Mass. We'll cut off the faith. I'm not making that up. They said it in their executive session, whatever it was, 1990, whatever, United States Council of Bishops. So, what happened for this one person? A leader to some degree in the traditional movement. As soon as he had approved priests to go to, he put it out through his media. Don't have anything to do with these priests. They are not approved. Do not help them. Do not have anything to do with them. This strikes us as a modern parable of this gospel. He who had received mercy through the hands of these priests now turns on them. We were not a priest at the time he was doing this, but we felt the impact. How could somebody do that? It reminds another story. A woman who worked in the Novus Ordo parish, and her pastor was a classmate, they were fellow ordinands, of a priest who was a chaplain to a hospital, and he would say the traditional Mass. So he was he wasn't cut off, he wasn't completely persecuted, but he kept a low profile, said the traditional Mass, he just had a little job as a chaplain to a hospital, and he had people to go to his traditional Mass. We have gone to his traditional Mass. And then when he got sick and he was dying, and this hurt to hear this lady tell the story, because it hurt her. She said, he was saying the traditional Mass for these people and things, and when he got sick and everything, nobody looked out for him. Nobody cared. She said, my pastor, well, he was a long-standing friend. They were fellow ordinands. But the Novus Ordo priest was the one going to visit him and look out for him and care for him. And this woman said, all those traditional people that went to his Mass, they had nothing to do with him. And that hurt to hear that. Is that how ungrateful we are? But you are not like that, and we are not like that. Because the man who told everyone, have nothing to do with these priests anymore, only support the priests that have the blessing of these modernists. And he has died. And now he depends on priests like us to help him if he's in purgatory. Because masses come in to us, the ones he said don't have anything to do with. He doesn't think that anymore because he depends on us to say those masses that people request for him. And you know what? We willingly do it. We're not, because if he's in purgatory, he is one of us, part of the church suffering. We want to help him. He knows now better. We tell the story so that we all learn that this parable is something going on all the time. Don't let us be like those people. Say the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. May God bless you.